Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Coming to Bard's Logic, Political Talk, part of the growing conservative conversation. There's either a couple ways you could have found yourself here. One is directly through Blog Talk Radio, but also you could have found this through the page of the Conservative Conversation, which one of the ways you can find that page is going to this show's website, and you can find that on the homepage of Bard's Logic, Political Talk. And you will find on the About the Show page a link at the bottom of the Conservative Conversation. And that group consists of this show, but not only this show. It has Samuel Sanford's show, which you can also find on Blog Talk Radio. And his show is from 10 p.m. to midnight, sometimes over. And these are all Eastern time. And you can also find Mark Prasik's show, which is from 10 until midnight, and then a second installment from midnight until 2 a.m. You also have 9 until 10 p.m., Charlotte Dively's Pray USA show. So, and also, coming soon, you will be able to find a Patriot's Voice for Freedom coming up, which I believe their shows are going to be on Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m., not Wednesday, I apologize, Thursday evenings from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., and we're just hammering that out now about getting them to be a part of the Growing Conservative Conversation group. So I'd like to thank everyone for coming in tonight, and thank all you folks who are going to be listening to us, listening to this later on the archives. Thank you very much for coming in. So what I'd like to discuss tonight is the Romney book, which is a 200-page dossier on John McCain's opposition research file on Mitt Romney, and also an article that reads 100 Ways Mitt Romney is Just Like Barack Obama. And the reason we bring this up is because with this probably being the most important election in our lifetime, can America afford more of the same? And what I mean by that is if Romney does indeed after the convention have the nomination, if he is indeed just like Barack Obama, then can this nation, can America truly afford for that to happen? Can they afford to have a Republican nominee that is that close in ideology with Barack Obama? And that is what we will explore tonight. So what I have, before I go into the article and to the book, I have a caller in on area code 205. And just for the people who call in, just I do have one rule as we keep things civil here on Bard's Logic Political Talk when we have our discussions. So that's all I ask is civil and no foul language, or else I will summarily drop people from the call if they cannot just follow those two simple those simple rules I have. So without further ado, I will let in 205. Hello, 205. Welcome. Thank you for coming to the show. Hello, 205. I cannot hear you. Okay, I'll put 205 back on hold until I can hear something. Maybe they'll be able to chime back in. Now, I'm wondering if the Blog Talk Radio or some other kind of internet connection is having some problems. So I'm going to check some links here to see if there's any kind of technical issues going on. And it appears that there might very well be. So I'm going to take some moments to check that out. So while I'm checking out some technical issues here, I'd like to play a clip of some music from, well, we're really freezing up here. So that's one of the things, both plus and minus of. Okay, folks, hopefully those glitches are gone, possibly, possibly not. I don't know which end it's on, but I'd like to try to bring in 205 again. So 205, let's see if we got a better connection. Yes, it's 205. Hello, 205.
Hello,
this is 205?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Well, thank you for calling. Yeah, it sounded like there might have been some difficulties there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. That's quite all right. Thank you for calling in. There might have been some connectivity issues. It looks like there might be something going on, either internet or something. I'm uncertain, but we're going to work with it. We're going to do our best with what we've got, and we'll go from there. So what would you like to chime in about tonight?
Well, first I wanted to know about the music that was just playing.
Okay, well, the music is by Aubrey Ashburn, and it's a vocalist and lyricist that I really enjoy. And I played that just, you know, to fill up the airtime. Of course, I really like her music because the difficulties that we are looking at the technical gifts we'll be looking at tonight, but I think it might be something on the internet side. And also, I am interviewing her this coming Thursday, so I thought that's a good segue, get people familiar with her music. When also you hear her speaking, or not speaking, you'll hear her singing on the end music that I play at the end of the show every evening.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'm fairly new to this, and I'm Jerry. And,
hi, Jerry.
I was just looking forward to the show tonight.
Oh, great, great. So, is there anything? I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. Go ahead. I thought there was.
Oh, I was just saying what you have for us. What, 200 pages of?
Well, yes. Tonight, what I was going to cover is something that we've been hearing somewhat about, is the Romney book, and people are talking more and more about it on, you know, the social media pages such as Facebook.
Yes.
And what that is a 200-page dossier from the opposition research file from John McCain when they're looking up, you know, looking up on Mitt Romney for the 2008 election. And there has been some speculation. And there's been some speculation, and because of that file, that's why Romney was not the pick of McCain for his vice presidential nominee or candidate, much like you had back when the very contentious 1980 election, where you had a GOP election primary, where you had the contentious race between Ronald Reagan and George Bush, in which, you know, to, I guess, seal party ties and affiliations, they put the ticket together. They have a Reagan Bush, but McCain didn't do that back in 2008. People were asking why, and many are contending that the 2,000-page dossier has a big part in playing that.
Excellent.
So, one of the things I like to do in the chat is the chat aspect. I like to bring them into the conversation. Not everyone is comfortable with calling and talking on the phone, and that's okay. That's why I like the chat aspect. And I'm going to ask her if she's had any problems coming in tonight. When I tried to let you in the first time, there was I couldn't hear you. And then, but in the chat, usually there's more people in the chat than I see now, so I'm going to ask her if there's any problems coming in tonight.
I think the problem was with me. I didn't realize that you were trying to speak with me, so I didn't dial the line.
Oh, okay, no problem.
So it was my fault. We got to listen to that fabulous song. I have never heard her music, and I love it. I can't wait for that show. But
oh, great.
I'm really
That's
excited
awesome.
About tonight, too, because I know that there were people who don't understand all of this push on my part, on the social media for Newt And I just think still there's a basic need to continue to let people know that, yes, we want Obama out, but we are not folding. This is not the time to fold. Absolutely, that the Tampa Convention will have their say, the delegates, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we're discussing this.
Exactly, and that's the duty, the moral duty, because I know some people are saying, oh, well, you know, they're morally bound to vote for Romney or whoever they're supposed to be bound for because of the results of the primary, which I believe the results of the primary would be a moot point just because of the chicanery that's been going on or that went on during the primary process in the propping
exactly.
up of Mitt Romney.
Absolutely. So this is our chance as citizens to get it the way we wanted it.
Exactly, exactly. And get a candidate that can actually defeat Barack Obama. And I think it's becoming more evident as time passes that Mitt Romney is not going to be that candidate to do that.
That's the way it's looking. It's
well,
scary, too, because, you know, as far as I can see, I just think at this point, the delegates need to know their history. They need to know the seriousness of all of this because some of us are really counting on that. America is counting on it.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I think as well. I think that, you know, America itself is counting on a GOP broker convention because I don't think we can, you know, we'll just precipitously go
down with another
Obama administration. And that's why I don't like when people are like, oh, well, if you're not for Romney, you must be, you know, for Obama. Well, no. We're not for Romney because we don't want Obama, and we really think that if it is after that gavel falls in Tampa, a Romney nominee, then we're going to have another four years of Obama.
I know. And then here's another way to look at it. With Romney running as on a Republican ticket, and these young people out here today, as ill-informed as they are, even adults that are busy raising families, they don't have time to devote to this, to study every nook and cranny of it. If a supposed Republican gets in and we don't recover as well in various, all sectors of America, not just financially, the education, everything has to be taken care of, everything. And Newt Gingrich is the only person that I can see that can and will do it. And so, say Romney went in for 4 years and it didn't look better. Now what are the kids to think? Okay, the Democrats, they're horrible. The Republicans, just as horrible. They will vote a Democrat in the next time just for it to change. That's the way
exactly.
I'm seeing this.
And that's I think that's a big part of the reason why Obama got elected is they thought that, okay, well, we got a Republican in there and things aren't doing too good.
Exactly.
So let's change and put a Democrat in, and it made it even worse. I mean, at a faster rate because you know Obama's administration has been spending, you know, on a much upscaled rate than they did in the Bush administration.
Exactly.
You know, and then, you know, Kathy, she chimed in the chat, you know, about no Romney, no Obama, and America can't warm up to Romney. Because I think what she said next is a big part of it. And I've got nothing against rich people, but, you know, Romney has no idea on how you and I live. The uber rich
right.
can't connect to the lower or middle class.
No, they can't, and that's okay, too, you know. That's all right, but they'd have no business making our laws, you know, just let them continue in the private sector doing what they do best and
let's have
some Americans who are serious with solid core values. And I just, you know, there are so many generations below me that did not have the benefit of those good solid values. And I think that is the core of the problem with the voters.
Well, exactly. And, you know, you have, well, and then, you know, we want people, people's president, Newt Gingrich, this Kathy Mandian, and it's all over the internet, and it needs to get all over the internet, this information, especially to Republicans, because a broker convention is actually not outside the norm. It's actually a big part, has played a big part of the GOP history. And there's a great article in the Rightly Weekly, I believe that's the name of the magazine, it's an online magazine, that talks about the you know, the history of the GOP when it comes to broker convention. And one interesting thing to note is that if a candidate, Republican candidate, is not the incumbent, although they win on the first ballot, or although they have won on the first ballot at the convention, they go on to lose in the general election.
Exactly.
I mean,
I'll read that.
That's just the history.
I'll read that.
Right, and that's just the history. And some are saying, "Oh, well, that's just made up," and you know.
Oh, see, and that they don't know their history. You know, there again.
Right. Well, and then you know, back to this page. I'll start from the top. You know, the top is of 100 ways Mitt Romney is just like Obama or Barack Obama is. Was the signature legislation accomplishment of the man the Republicans have chosen, and it's not the Republicans. See, when I go down these, I want to clarify some of the things that I read because not all of this, I believe, is it's true in fact, but it's not true in description. And what I mean by that is the fact is that, yes, Romney's the signature legislative accomplishment, you know, Obama, you know, Romney Care, you know, with the blueprint and the model for the Affordable Care Act, as it's so-called, or Obamacare, you know.
Exactly.
But what I don't like to see is when they say Republicans have chosen. No, you know.
No, we did not.
Right. Yeah, it was the RNC. And actually it goes on, I think I might have misread it. Republicans have chosen to repeal and replace Obamacare was Romneycare. Okay, but yeah, they're talking about repeal and replace. If you repeal and replace Obamacare, what are you going to do, replace it with Romneycare?
We never wanted to replace it. The idea was repeal. Someone threw in replace. I don't know who. It was someone wanting votes. Repeal.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was an idea to find a way to deal with the big pharma, the insurance companies, and make it work that way as opposed to making us have to work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's...
Fit in with their happy little plan.
Right, and I'll tell you what, Obama's plan has been anything but affordable. It's been
anything but taking care of your health as well.
True.
Plus 2,000 pages were not about that.
Right, exactly. It's, you know, a lot of it, you know, about redistribution of wealth. Now, I'm looking at the Romney book, and it is quite extensive. It is, as I said, 200 pages long. And you can, I mean, you can just Google it online and find it. You can actually just download it. So that's interesting. Go ahead.
Is this the book you're speaking of this evening?
Yep, the Romney book. It's the 200-page dossier on which was the opposition. Yeah, it was the opposition research file done by John McCain when he was running, you know, in 2008 against Romney, and this is the file that came out of that.
Okay.
And it's just been dubbed the Romney book is what it's been dubbed, you know, because it's on Romney.
Yeah.
So what it covers. It covers social issues such as abortion, stem cell research, gay rights, Second Amendment issues, affirmative action, judicial issues, Confederate flag Southern issues, economic issues including spending, taxes, state fees, the Bush tax cuts, jobs in the economy, and then on foreign policy, it talks about experience, Iran and Iraq, terrorism, China, Cuba, Venezuela, general issues, And they're also talking, it says, domestic policy includes campaign finance reform, immigration, health care, energy and environment, education, crime and public safety. So it's pretty extensive. It goes on. And what I'd like to do tonight for people in the chat or the people in, excuse me, who call in tonight, if there's a certain portion that you would like to hear, whether it's domestic policy or foreign policy or economic issues, and you want to hear what it says on the book, I'd be more than happy to look it up in the index and read what it has for that. But that being said, if you don't mind, I have another person on hold on 903. It sounds like they'd like to call in to chime in on tonight's topic. So let me go ahead and let them in, and then I'll keep your line open.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hello, hey,
903. Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I wasn't really wanting to talk, but I just glad that I could finally get on the show and listen. So,
great.
Definitely
well,
a conservative, and definitely want Newt to win and have a broker convention and no Obama. So,
Exactly. Well, okay. Well, if you'd like, I could go ahead and mute the mic, and then you could just listen. And then, are you in the chat as well, or?
I tried to get on there, but it wouldn't let me get on. So
yeah, I thought there's been some difficulties with people getting into the chat.
The only person on is Cindy Mindy. That's the only one that's showing. So
right, and then the rest are in as guests. And I'd like to thank the guests for coming in, even if you can't participate in chat. I really appreciate you coming in tonight. But if you feel comfortable enough to call in, the call in number is 347-945-7248, and while I'm thinking about it, you probably see that on the homepage, but unless you're listening in on the conversation, on the discussion tonight, on other methods of listening to the show, then please feel free to call in, chime in. Even if you are a Romney supporter and you'd like to defend your position, as long as you do it in a civil manner, that is not something I oppose. I actually welcome that, because, this is debate and analysis, and I feel that our points, and I'm talking about the people who have called in and shown their support for Newt Gingrich, I think we come from a very strong position on why we are still supporting Newt Gingrich in a broker convention. But if you're a Romney supporter and you think you have a strong position, you need to chime in as well. And we can compare positions and go from there. I mean, I feel that our position is stronger. But if you feel the same as yours, let's go ahead and put that to the test. I offer that. So anyway, I'll go ahead and put the mic on mute, and I might chime in from time to time to see if there's anything you'd like to say. And then if I could, why don't I just keep your mic open if you don't, unless it's going to be some sound in the background.
Who is that, me? Are you talking to me, Robert?
903, yes.
Okay, all right. Okay, that's fine. I totally agree. I mean, the main reason why I'm supporting Newt is I just feel like that of all the candidates that we had, Newt was, he is the only one that really has the experience to get us really out of this severe mess we're in, and really also a matter of trusting our candidates. I don't like people that lie to me, and I feel like we all know that Obama has not been truthful in so many ways that we don't need someone to replace him that's going to be the same way, that we don't really know what he means when he's talking. Because he could be just saying it just because he felt that he'd get more attention that way, when actually Newt tells you what he believes and he sticks with it, and that's why I guess I'm so passionate about it.
Right, and when you can't tell the difference between the two candidates and their ideology, one group that you hear the Republicans talking about such the concentration, their concentration is such on the conservatives joining up with the party in order, for Romney, they're forgetting a very important voter block, and that's the independents. And when independents do not see a stark contrast between the two candidates, they're going to, by history has shown they vote for the incumbent. That's why one of the reasons why it's so hard to vote out an incumbent, because they feel like, why change now?
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Why change now when we, and we're replacing the man but not the ideology?
Right. Two liberals. What's the difference?
Exactly. And I think I'm going to play an audio clip. It's only about 3 minutes, 22 seconds long. And I think this illustrates this point.
Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
What if I told you this man's big government mandating health care included $50 abortions and killed thousands of jobs? Would you ever vote for him? What if I told you he supported radical environmental job killing, cap and trade, and the Wall Street bailouts? And what if I told you he dramatically raised taxes and stuck taxpayers with a $1 billion shortfall? One more thing. What if I told you the man I'm talking about isn't him? It's him.
$50 abortion subsidized by Romney. If you're low income, they're free. Why would you put someone up who is uniquely, think any other Republican in the country, is the worst Republican in the country?
When I was first running for office, Newt Gingrich was the guy that whose tapes I listened to as a young man, and trying to, at 30 years old, deciding to run for Congress. He laid out a vision for conservative governance that I adopted and ran with in a very, very tough congressional district.
Thing I remember about Newt, we came to Congress together at the same time.
Right.
78. And when Newt showed up, he said, we can become the majority. We can take back the House of Representatives. We hadn't had the House since the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, none of us believed him. But he was persistent, he was tenacious, he kept it up and kept it up and kept it up. And finally, by 94, he's the newly elected Speaker of the House of Representatives with a Republican majority. So I wouldn't underestimate him.
All right.
Yeah, everybody's reading from the same songbook, it looks like now. Everybody's saying the same thing. Everybody's got their talking points down, you know, and they're basically agreeing on fundamental things. The question is, who's got the depth and who understands what they're talking about? I think Newt has shown time and time again, especially in the debates, that he understands how the situation works. He understands the problems. He knows how to take the Obama policy tree down limb from limb, and has done so. He's talking about things right now like the energy problem. And he's got Obama answering him now about the gasoline situation, prices at the pump, what needs to be done, how it works, how the price is established, where the drilling can be done, what's private land, what's public. What's, and he's steeped in these policy matters and has been for years. And, you know, we no longer, we conservatives, you know, kind of go back and forth on this sometimes, but we no longer can afford to elect somebody, I think, whose battle cry is, I know nothing about Washington. I think you need to know where the bodies are buried and what to do. And I think Newt is the guy who does that.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Okay,
Yes, and can you post the link to that, Robert? That was really good.
I've heard it before, but
I've forgotten that one.
I can look for it, the link. That's actually in my audio files.
Okay.
But, yeah, I can look for a link and then definitely put it on, on the chat, not tonight, but on another show. But what I'd like to do is I do have a website for the show, and it's being updated. Of course, it's still open for visitors to come and look at it, you know, and check some things out. And I want to add a page, like a link page, because you know, people ask a question. And there are a few videos that I do have on the page, the Get Involved page, that you'll hear on the show. So I do have that on the website, which you can access that website from the homepage here on Blog Talk Radio for this show. Now, one of the things from the 100 Ways Mitt Romney is just like Barack Obama, and they're talking about money, is the same Wall Street recipients of TARP bailout money that were the top Obama donors in 2008 are the top Romney supporters or donors in 2012.
I saw that on something, like incredible amount of money he's gotten from Wall Street.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And that's the sad reality is that the money is buying the election. I mean, the money is what stopped Newt's momentum in Florida and those lies and all the negative stuff that he did. I mean, that's when I decided right then and there I was never going to – I mean, if I could – any way I could get Newt and help him, I would, because I just didn't like that kind of – I didn't like the way he was handling it, the primaries,
yeah.
And the RNC either.
Oh, the RNC definitely was so
breaking
much,
all the rules.
Well, speaking of the RNC or people doing things such as that, I don't like to overdo the audio clips, but I do have a clip about some voter suppression that went on in New York, and you want to talk about the RNC. Well, here's an example of that.
Hello, this is Rockland County Republican Chairman Vincent Rita calling to remind you that tomorrow, April 24th, is primary day in New York. It is imperative that us Republicans get out to vote and support Mitt Romney for president. Even though the other candidates have dropped out of the race, it is imperative that we show we are united behind the one man that could beat Barack Obama in November. So please, get your families and friends and fellow Republicans out to vote and support Mitt Romney for president tomorrow, April 24th. Polls are open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Please make every effort to get out and support Mitt Romney for president. Thank you.
Now, the problem with that is when that robocall went out in New York, both Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich were actively running.
Right, I remember. Mm-hmm.
That was an outright lie.
Mm-hmm. It sure was.
An outright lie. And I have someone on the line who is on the switchboard here. Let them in, but with a brief introduction, which for a man who doesn't need any introduction, he was the 175,000th donor to Newt.org. He also has his own blog talk radio show, which you can find here. And as part of the conservative conversation, exactly, Sam Sanford, his show is from 10 p.m. to midnight, sometimes even going past that to 1 a.m. on Eastern Time. And without further ado, I shall let in Sammy. Hello,
hey.
Sammy. Good to
hi,
from
Sammy.
You.
Hey, Cindy. I love both y'all.
Okay.
And we are not going to shut up for Newt Gingrich. And shutting up for Newt Gingrich is shutting up to constitutional conservatism, plain and simple. And they can tell us to shut up. They can tell us to back down. It's never going to happen. And I'm sorry about last night. I will share this a little bit on the show tonight. I was in the hospital yesterday. And that's the reason I did not have a show last night. But we're going to keep on fighting and not shut up.
One of those issues, Sammy, that, you know, the reason why they're talking about the Romney book tonight is there has been some speculation on why McCain did not pick Romney for his, you know, for his VP pick, and a lot of them point to this report saying that that's the reason why. And if McCain would not pick him for his VP pick, what is there about Mitt Romney?
That's because of his tax returns. Plain
and
simple.
And that's probably part of it. It's also one thing I would think is, let me see if I can pull up this page. And I'm looking directly at the Romney book here. And which is a 200-page dossier which is the opposition research file of Mitt Romney from the McCain. So let's see if I can find this here. So go ahead, if anyone else would like to chime in on whatever they heard. But if we want to talk about someone else real quick, go ahead. If someone else wants to chime in on that, and I'll bring this other thing in.
No, I am supporting Newt Gingrich 100%.
Me too.
I will never back down. I know Cindy Todd won't. And I know her awesome grandson will not either. I mean, the little gentleman is a big-time Newt supporter, and the little man's been educated right. And that's the same way for Jazzy Girl. And once we back down, then they're going to walk all over us. And I had a little visit today, Robert, from a dear friend, an email.
Oh, no,
and,
really? Our friend?
Yep,
are you talking about silverfish or tuna, whatever?
Silver tuna. I just deleted it. I mean, I didn't waste my time on it.
You know, if I had feelings, Sammy, I could be heard on that. But being the logical man that I am, I feel like he's just ignoring me now. He never contacts me anymore. I'm so distraught about that. Actually, I had a lot of fun time with the person. You know, you get them going, and then they start blabbering. Blah, 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 you know what I mean? You know, spouting, not saying anything, you know, really intellectual. So, but I kind of missed it, and I don't get any emails from him anymore. Well, and maybe I do. Maybe I'm just not checking that email account that he emailed me from. But
they were saying they were having a lot of fun about me in my show on a certain person's page. I just laughed about it and deleted it and said, goodbye. I'm not going to respond. I am not going to return an issue. That's what he wants, is a response.
Yeah, I guess it's just a attention hound. You know what I mean?
Yep, exactly. And we're out here supporting Newt Gingrich 100%. Donna Kaiser supporting Newt Gingrich. Cindy Todd is supporting Newt Gingrich 100%, and they are working their butts off in the background. And there are dozens of other people out there working their butts off for Newt Gingrich.
There are.
Well, I've been following politics for quite some time, ever since I was a kid, actually. And I follow fall politics, and I've never seen where we've had an election where there was a specific candidate.
You mean Cindy?
I'm sorry?
Cindy. Is Claire here too?
No, I don't see. No, but Claire.
Well, that was what you were saying.
Oh, okay, sorry. But I must have talking on something else. No, anyway, I'm confused here for a second. But while to alleviate that, I have a gentleman calling in who I talked to tonight who I believe, if I have the area code here, has a – I just want to chime in, and I'm not trying to interrupt anybody, but he has a report. I believe he might have a report on the – what I believe is the Ron Paul – lawsuit against the RNC. So let's see if that's the case.
Hopefully,
yes,
that is the case.
Is this Chris?
Is
great.
This
thank
Kelly?
You very much.
Yes, sir. It's Chris.
Yes, Chris. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good.
So what do you got for us this evening?
Well, it's a pretty complex situation. So I guess the question is, what do you understand at this point, so I can chime in, because we'd be here for hours trying to explain this thing from the beginning.
Well, in layman's term, what we understand is that the, I guess, Ron Paul campaign or supporters are suing the RNC on delegate or voter intimidation, and that it's been going through the courts in California, possibly to the 9th district, and that's pretty much... You know, and they're looking for, from my understanding, they were looking for delegates to fill out affidavits and, you know, to in a way testify to what they've experienced as either becoming delegates or being delegates or things of that nature.
Okay. So you want me to kind of like give you a factual, like, I don't want to say this in the wrong way, but to correct you on that so people understand
I'm no expert on the matter by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not offended by that. So
okay,
that's why we have guys like you.
Robert, let me interject this here. Factually summarize it.
Okay, so now just so you guys know, some of you guys know who I am because of our Facebook groups and things like that. Know that I go back to, you know, Newt, you know, 100% all the way. I started doing some research back on election fraud quite a ways back, and that kind of got me into, obviously, the only people that were really recording it were the Paul group. So I kind of, you know, was getting myself involved in those groups so I could stay up on it because something was bugging me. I tripped over this issue. The site is a Facebook site, is Lawyers for Ron Paul, and I tripped over it, and I got involved in it because they were initially looking for an attorney to take all these reports. I mean, there's over 1,000 plaintiffs involved in this right now. I mean, it is large, and there probably could be 2,000 if people would have gotten the information out. But basically, the people who are doing the lawsuit are not part of the campaign. That's very important. The guy, Richard Gilbert, is an attorney in California, and he is a Paul supporter. And he had been studying all these, you know, issues of voter fraud, intimidation, coercion, all these things that have been going on. And he kept waiting for the campaign to do something about it. And he finally got up and said, I'm going to do something about it. So this has nothing to do with the Ron Paul campaign. Nobody has from the campaign that anything I've, you know, been part of or been witness to has denounced the lawsuit. But they haven't, you know, backed it because, I mean, we're talking about major politics here. So anyway, the lawsuit, and this is where a lot of people get very confused. The lawsuit, even though there is over 1,000 people who have given testimony to it, it is not a criminal lawsuit. It is a federal question lawsuit. And it goes to this concept of, you know, I see this, I'm on 30 news sites, and I see this broker convention stuff constantly being spread around the sites and talked about in the blog talk radios about a brokered convention. And I've chimed in here and there trying to get people to understand, because I think I was the first person back in, I don't know, December to even discuss brokered convention on nude sites. But the thing is you can't have a brokered convention if the RNC creates rules and breaks rules and says, we're not going to have a brokered convention because all these delegates are bound. And that's where this issue of this federal question lawsuit comes into play. What you're dealing with here is this attorney is pretty savvy. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I've listened to him talk. I've listened to him interview. So there's a lot. Like I said, there's just, you know, I've been on this thing for, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months now. So, but basically he knew time was short, and the key was to be able to go to a federal judge and say, look, can the RNC tell people that delegates are bound? Or does the federal law stand at the convention to say that delegates can vote their conscience? And that's the point of this lawsuit. Now, today, you know, now, are there criminal activities? You got 1,000 plaintiffs out there. You know, there's people have had their bones. I mean, like I said, you'd have to follow this thing to the degree I have to hear all of the evidence that I've seen of, you know, at state levels, all the way from voter fraud issues to, you know, ballot issues to coercion of delegates to the affidavits issue in Massachusetts where they were forced to sign an affidavit, which many believe is against the law. You know, there's just all these different things. There's 1,000 different recordings of these things. So what happens is that's just evidence to say, you know, to bring before the judge to show that we have a real case here and we need this question answered. Are these delegates free to vote their conscience, or Can they be coerced and threatened and intimidated and rules broken and state law broken in order for the RNC to crown their man, Mitt Romney? And that's the issue. And it started this morning. Wait, I want to make sure you're still there. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're listening very intently. You have our total focus and attention.
Mm-hmm.
It was just real quiet, and I was flapping my jaw pretty fast. I'm trying to get 2 months' worth of information into one call. And so what happened was the RNC filed a motion to dismiss, which is common with any kind of lawsuit. That's the first thing that the defense is going to do is say, oh, we want to – this case has no merit, so, you know, it needs to be thrown out. That started at 8:30 this morning in a California court, federal court. And the judge, now I have a paralegal on my group site, which is a godsend because I don't know if anybody has ever tried to understand legalese. It's not easy. And so, in fact, she's on right now posting as I'm talking. But the bottom line is what happened was they went in there and the judge wanted some more information and he also wanted some things filed differently. So the motion to dismiss basically didn't happen, and that's
Yay.
A good sign. Yeah, and that's a good sign. Now, they're back in court right now as of 5 p.m. West Coast time. I'm on the West Coast up in Washington State. And they're back in court, and some of this stuff is going to be ruled on, and I think that he's going to roll some stuff off, and it's going to end up being an appellate writ situation. But the bottom line is – so some of the information, like I said, I've got 150 threads, comments on this thread right now, just on this lawsuit. So it's hard to, you know this, Robert, trying to read everything and answer questions. So basically it's
right.
in motion. We're not going to have clarity on this thing until about 9 p.m. tonight. So that being said, ask me questions because that may make it easier.
So are they going to make a decision tonight by 9 p.m.? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think they're going to make a decision on several things. One is whether or not they're going to go, okay, motion denied, which we already believe, and the Ron Paul, lawyers from Ron Paul's site believe that because it's still in motion, that that's already been decided on, but nobody has clarity on that yet. But that's going to be one of the decisions. The decision to, you know, is this going to go to court? Is this judge in a position to take this on? Is it going to go somewhere else? You know, that is going to be probably decided tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, let me interject this here. You know Kelly Mordecai, don't you?
Personally, no.
But, I mean, you know he's part of the lawsuit.
Well, there's a lot of people involved, but go ahead.
And we've had the lawyers on my show, the lawyer presenting to the Ninth Circuit Court.
Richard.
Gilbert,
right?
Yeah, we're
going for it, and I am promoting them with whatever I can to help us defeat Mitt Romney and Barack Obama.
That's
and if you want to shut up, you people out there, then you don't support this nice, awesome gentleman here on the show. And you're welcome to call into my show, which will start at 10 o'clock. I would love to have you on there. And to
me?
Explain
you're talking
it.
You're talking about me?
Yes, yes, sir.
Oh, sure.
And Robert has a very growing show. It could even surpass my show on a daily basis. I mean, Robert is awesome.
Agree.
But we cannot shut up. We cannot back down, and we have to force a brokered convention, plain and simple. Whether we do it through legal maneuverings or do it through the policies of the RNC.
Now,
hey,
can
Sammy,
I help?
Hey, Sammy, I'm going to chime in real quick. I just want to let people know that I was silent for a while because my phone sometimes has a brain of its own, and it disconnected me, and I was having quite the time trying to come back in. And for some reason, when I was trying to – see, that's the good thing, I guess, and the bad thing at the same time about how organic the show is okay, well, good. I see that the wife is home because I kept trying to call the number to the show, but it kept dialing my wife's phone. I don't know what that's all about, but – it looks like it's all worked out, so I'm back. And thank you very much. If you've never heard from me, that's why. So there's a little bit of comedy relief, I guess, for you guys. Not comedy on my part, it feels like, comedy on yours. And I'm done digressing, so go ahead, guys.
Robert, can I put a little bit of just a little bit of my own personal feeling being I basically am a Newt supporter, and I walked into the camp of another campaign and built relationships and built friendships with these people so that I could find out what was going on. Because, you know, when Newt suspended, you know, everybody was, like, freaking out. I mean, most people know me. I'm on every day. I've been on there. I'm at 17,000 posts for this primary. And I went, whoa, okay, something's going on. Ron Paul hasn't suspended. He may be the only thing that's going to get us to a broker convention, and that's what got me doing this research. One of the things that I think is really important to understand, and I have kind of a unique group because I had to build a group to be able to discuss this because I kept getting attacked by new people because I was trying to bring information from the only actively campaigning candidate left, you know, which was Ron Paul. So it had to be a Ron Paul discussion. And it was amazing to me how many people were so set in their mind to, you know, this anti-Paul mentality when I'm like, I kept saying, I am not a Paul supporter. But if we don't listen and learn and understand why he's still running and why he's still competing against Romney, you know, we basically have lost. All the conservatives dogged out, you know, suspended their campaigns, and this guy is still fighting, and he's getting delegates. We need to understand this. And I had to build my own group so I could have these discussions because it seemed like the new people, which, I mean, I have 500 new friends, but it seemed like people were so caught up in their political mindsets, they couldn't understand that our basic freedoms in terms of what an election is, what a primary is, if something like this is going to allow, if we're going to allow crimes to occur and be so caught up in our own little worlds of who our candidate, you know, us versus them, that we don't start listening, you know, open our eyes to what's going on and support. It has been very difficult to get new supporters to be part of the information flow, and I know some of you guys have done it, which is awesome, but, you know, I'm on 30 groups, and I quit posting because I'm going, nobody wants to hear this. We're going to lose this primary, and we have one chance to get a broker convention, and it isn't because we post about broker conventions. It's because this one crazy libertarian lawyer stood up, one of 300 million people in this country stood up and said, I'm going to fight it. And this is the guy that's going to get it happening, and he happens to be a Paul guy. So what? He's fighting for our voting rights in this country. And I just got to put that out there because the biggest battle I have had is not having conversations with the Paul supporters, but trying to get new people on board with this. And that's just my personal feeling on that for a guy who's been in this fight since day one.
Okay. And I appreciate your efforts, and, you know, I'm not an anybody but Romney. You know, I don't want Obama to win, and I don't think Obama can beat Romney. I mean, I don't think Romney could beat Obama. So, if I had to choose between Ron Paul and Mitt Romney, there isn't a choice. Well, there is a choice, you know what I mean? But, I mean, it's Ron Paul. I'd vote for Ron Paul any day over Mitt Romney. You know, but Sammy, I'm sorry if I interrupted you, Sammy. I apologize. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm just getting ready to post a link on your chat. And dear friend, we would love to have you on my show. My show is Keep Newt. Let me tell you, we need Newt in Money Bomb, Go Brokered.
And that's 10 to midnight, right, Sammy? Eastern time?
Yeah, it's from 10 till probably 1 o'clock sometimes, but I try to shut it down at midnight.
Sammy, what time zone are you in?
I'm in Eastern time zone. I live in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, I'm on West Coast. West Coast time. I'm sorry, Robert.
No, I was just going to say same time as this show.
Okay, so, Sammy, you're on in an hour.
Yep. And, I'm not sure if you know who I am.
Yeah, I've listened to your shows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I've got a question. Oh, go ahead, Sammy.
Go ahead, Rob. No, but
well, this is funny. I'm going to turn off my own mic. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Sammy.
Well, Cindy Tidal, which is on the line, and I were here in Jacksonville, and Newt was here about 3 weeks ago. He never said nothing about endorsing nor supporting Mitt Romney. He spent 98% of the 25 or 30 minutes he spoke was to attack Barack Obama.
Which is what he said he would do.
Exactly.
I think all of us Newt supporters, you know, I remember the day he suspended. I mean, I bet you people were crying. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was all over his site, you know, his main Facebook site, going, don't you dare suspend, don't you dare get, I mean, you know, I could just feel it coming. And the thing is that for most of us, we're probably the most educated people in this country in terms of politics and what's really going on behind the scenes, the conspiracies, the almost conspiracies, all of it. I mean, anybody who has put as much time and effort into this thing as us three or four that are talking right now understand what's at stake in this country. I remember driving down the road with my son before he went into the Army, and I remember when our President Bush signed the Patriot Act, I turned to my son and I said, there goes our freedoms. And I remember that day as clear as I can remember the road. I can remember driving down the road. I remember the emotional feeling. And I remember Newt talking about 3.5 years, we fought the Second World War. We got attacked. We fought a war. We fought multiple opponents in multiple theaters. And we never gave up our freedoms. 10 years later, we haven't even touched our enemy. And yet, We have given up our freedoms willfully in this country. And what I've learned in this election, you know, following this lawsuit, and it's one of those things. I mean, I'm talking about daily involvement. I've seen things that I never thought I would have ever seen before. Our freedoms, this primary, and anybody who's done the research on what happened in the Obama-Clinton primary knows what I'm talking about. They learned this stuff from that primary. And it's being done in our primary. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, can we come together and fight this, or are we going to roll over and allow this to happen? Sorry,
it's
I'm babbling.
Very scary. Very scary.
I just have a real quick question. It's a yes or no question. Is the lawsuit versus the RNC?
In a way, yes, it is, but it's a federal – here, you got to go back to this because the most mind-boggling thing you could ever get your mind wrapped around, it is a federal question. And, yes, the answer, if the judge says you follow federal law, everybody's free to vote their conscience, then it is directly against the RNC. They are the defendant, 104 defendants. All 50 states have been served. And they got all their Romney lawyers, because Romney is the RNC. I mean, when they suspended Rule 11 and the RNC backed Romney as the presumed candidate, it became the Romney RNC at that point. So it's really kind of a bizarre concept, but, you know.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying.
My understanding, the RNC supported Romney way before they were, I don't know about legally allowed to, but at least by their rules allowed to.
Well, here's the problem. All the candidates were called for that equal support, and they all said, no, go ahead. And that's the problem with that rule. If they would have said no, then that rule would have mattered. So that's one of those things where you go, bummer, that would have been a nice rule to hold against them.
Yeah,
but even Ron Paul.
Why do you think the candidates, if you don't mind me asking, why do you think the candidates did that? That baffles me. I know what you're referring to.
Okay.
That's baffling to me.
I had a revelation about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I think it was because I got involved in this lawsuit. And like I said, I have a paralegal on my group, which has really helped. But it hit me like a rock. The RNC is a private club. So when you remember that feeling we had when Newt suspended? And we're like, why? Well, I don't understand. I have a gal on my site, Betty, 79 years old. She knew Newt when he first got into politics. And sometimes she is so emotional with, I don't understand, there had to be something behind the scenes. The RNC is a private club. They can make or destroy you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Then there's nothing. You want a career, you want to be a politician, you want the backing, you want all these people, all this machine to come behind you or to basically make you into nothing. You know, sometimes you got to play by the rules, their rules, whether they're legal, moral, or honest, or ethical.
Amen.
Here, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah.
I'm going back off the show because I got to get my show getting ready to get kicking, and I'm trying to get Kelly Mordecai to call in tonight. He is one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit.
Cool.
Against the RNC.
That would be really cool if Chris could be on there too. You know, that would be great.
And
no problem.
And do you know my call-in number? Are you on my Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you just go ahead and repeat it?
Yeah, my
call-in
number. If you got a pen and paper.
Go ahead.
The call-in number is 619-924-0925. I mean, I am running behind tonight because I just got out of the hospital a little bit earlier this evening. And
you're amazing.
Let me reconfirm that, Sammy. 619-924-0925.
Yes, that's
okay.
It. And my show starts at 10 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay.
I'm hoping Kelly Mordecai, which is one of the chief plaintiffs in the lawsuit against, I just sent him a message on Facebook. And Kelly's been on Robert's show, and he's been on my show a couple times. Kelly is very awesome. He lives, I think, am I correct, Robert, Colorado?
No, I believe he's from California as well.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's California.
And he also
you're
wrote
right.
a book called The Hidden Fourth Branch about the federal grand jury.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Sammy
asked me earlier if I remember him. I mean, I know so many people. Sometimes when you get asked that question, do you know so-and-so? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, no problem. You know, one thing is I'm very hard to offend. It's very hard to offend me. No problem whatsoever.
But y'all keep on rocking on Patriots, and I will have my show on in 47 minutes. And
great.
Robert,
well, Sammy. Thank you for calling in, Sammy. I appreciate it.
Hey.
Yeah, bye, Sammy.
But Robert is very eloquent, and very awesome.
Oh, thanks, Sammy. I appreciate that, bud.
And, I mean, he is an awesome, gracious radio host. And thank you for being who you are. And
oh, man,
you're gonna be,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're going to be number one of these days.
Well,
and
one thing I'd like to envision is all of us on the, you know, all of us on the conservative conversation, you know, be on the first page of Blog Talk Radio. I can see a vision where that'll be one day. And we work together as a team, and that's what it's about, teamwork. And it's important that we do have this teamwork because we're not, in my opinion, we're not going to be able to get out the information that's going to be so much needed to get out if we don't work as a team.
Oh, amen, Robert. And we're not going to shut up. We're not going back down. And I will stand up for Newt Gingrich 100%, and you will never shut me down. And God bless you all, and God bless all the little fishes that live in the sea. And Robert will get laughed. They know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. the environmentalist of the group. Yeah, that would be
no,
me.
I'm,
green conservatism. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm talking about the little silver tuna out there swimming around.
Oh, little
the,
silver tuna. All that. Okay, I thought you were talking about me signing the petition to save the dolphins about a month back. No, I'm serious. There was a over in Japan, there was someone was getting a petition together about saving some dolphins and porpoise, and I was promoting that and signed petition and stuff like that. So I thought maybe that's what was being referred to.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, well, God bless you all, and we'll see you on the flip side on my show.
All right, take care, Sammy. Thanks again.
Good night, and
okay,
God bless
so
you all.
Well, ask me questions, Robert.
Okay, well, and I want to make a point that you brought up earlier when you first came on. I think it's very important to discuss is, you know, I mentioned teamwork and you mentioned, you know, getting people to come together. And I think that's very important because what we are up against, you know, and you described, you know, with the machine of the RNC and what we are up against, you know, we need to stick together. And sometimes you make alliances, such as I think it was very important to have an alliance with Ron Paul. I mean, I even thrown out the idea of a Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich ticket. You know, we either flip side, who would be on the top and the bottom of the ticket. For one, I think that would be one of the most principled tickets that we've had in a very long time. You know, because I believe both Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul are very principled men and kept to their principles throughout their careers, unlike Mitt Romney. Now, I think the reason why people think this was coming from Ron Paul is there was a YouTube video clip. I've got an audio clip of it here. It's 10 minutes, so I don't know whether I play it or not. But that's where I think people got the idea from that it was a Ron Paul lawsuit. Have you seen that clip?
I've probably seen all of them, you know, or 99% of them, because I'm on the about three different Paul sites, so I would assume. I'm not sure if I've seen that one. I mean, it has never been a campaign lawsuit. I mean, I listened to the first interview with Richard Gilbert on this whole thing. He stepped out, you know, and the lawyers for Ron Paul are a group of Ron Paul supporters, sharp crowd, and I got to say that. And I don't mean, I'm not trying to butter them up, but this is a very sharp group, and they went out looking for an attorney to take this stuff on, and this guy stepped up. So it is not, you know, and that's, I'm glad that I called in, if not for just that reason, so that people understand this is not a Paul thing. This is patriots, regardless of their candidate.
Well, two things. One, I want to bring up for anyone in the chat, if you have any questions, go ahead and chime in. And then I do have two other people on the call, which if they'd like to ask anything, go ahead.
I wanted to ask Chris a question because someone, a blogger today, and I don't know, you know, so much of the stuff on the internet is not correct, but they were saying that Ron Paul was going to be barred from speaking at the convention. Is that true?
Well, he has not been invited.
Well, how can I thought he had delegates from at least five states, and so therefore he was going to be able, I mean, he would.
Oh, man. Okay. Here you go. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, whoever just talked, I'm hearing some background noise, some disturbance. Disturbance, whatever. So I'm going to mute some mics while Chris talks, and I'll turn it back on so I'm getting some disruption. That's the word I was looking for. So we can hear him clearly because I don't know where that background noise has come from. But after he's done, I'll go ahead and unmute the mic. So I'm not trying to keep anybody from saying anything. Just there's some background distortion that I'm trying to get rid of. So go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay.
Yes.
Here's the situation. When I first started tracking because I think most of us remember maybe a news clip or whatever, Ron Paul, you know, he hadn't won any states, but he's going after the delegates. And I think all of us kind of heard that. And that kind of caught my attention and caused me to start doing a lot more research. He has probably won majority of delegates. And don't quote me on this because it's so hard to get a clear answer on this, in as many as 11 states. The RNC has removed over 200 duly elected Ron Paul delegates in multiple states through whatever reason they could find, whether it was the affidavit situation in Massachusetts, whether it was sunny on Saturday, so that vote didn't count. I mean, I'm telling you, they have pulled everything out of they can think of to eliminate and get Ron Paul below that five-state plurality that is needed to be on the first ballot. They just did it in Louisiana, which was a big win for him, and they're going after his delegates in Maine. So basically, they will break every rule, law, moral, immoral. It doesn't matter. I mean, I've seen the video clips of things that happened in Oregon, you know, where people were running out the door and they were being chased by people with cameras, hauling ballots out the door, trying to steal the ballots so that Ron Paul delegates couldn't get their positions. I mean, it's just insane all the stuff that I've seen. And if it's one of those things where I remember blogging on Facebook about this, but I remember saying to people, I don't care if it's Mickey Mouse. Doesn't this bother you that this is going on in our primary? And that was the point I think I was trying to get across to what Robert was talking about working together. You know, I don't care if it was Ron Paul, Newt Gingrich, Santorum, anybody. This is wrong, and it needs to stop. Before they're done, and this is the thing I keep saying about the brokered convention, because I see all the posts about it. And here's the thing. If they eliminate all the delegates and replace them with Romney delegates, then that first vote, it's over, folks. It's not going to be a brokered convention. That's why this lawsuit was so important. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no need to apologize at all. So now I heard some concerns about this, the lawsuit, is because two things. One, if it is against the RNC and some of those RNC people that were, from my understanding, named on the as defendants state chairpersons, which, of course, you know, are also delegates, national delegates.
Yes.
And there's a concern that that might, sway them towards voting for Romney. That's one. And two, there was concern about it coming from California and the Ninth Circuit. And the Ninth Circuit, as you know, is well known and documented for being overturned.
Right. Now, the first point, when this lawyer had to put this together, because I remember, you know, I've listened to many conversations and being on the Lawyers for Ron Paul site and being around the people who were very involved in the lawsuit. Things happen, you know what I mean? The guy had to put together his plaintiffs, he had to put together his defendants. And I remember him talking about the fact that a lot of the defendants were actually – even though they were RNC defendants, they disagreed with the RNC. And that's just one of those things that happened in this kind of situation. The guy had to put together his plaintiffs and his defendants
right.
And his evidence.
It had to be all inclusive, right?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all 50 states. Like I said, there's 400 delegates.
Yeah.
Right. There's 400 delegates, 1,000 plaintiffs involved in, witnesses to fraud, coercion, whatever the case may be, just, all that evidence. And then the other question, hold on, my brain just stopped. What was the second part?
Since it was in California and it's under the purview of the 9th District, they're concerned, because of the reputation of the 9th District, that could cause some problems.
Right, and that's the thing. Richard Gilbert has talked about the Judge Carter, and I know some people have tried to, he was a Clinton judge, this, that, and the other. Judge Carter's an ex-Marine, and Richard Gilbert's been in front of him several hundred times, and he said this guy is pretty tough, and he's pretty strict, by rule of law and the Constitution. And so you got to remember, it's not a criminal lawsuit. It's not a lawsuit for damages. It's a legal question, and that's what makes it unique. And so if when you say against the RNC, well, they're not asking, because one of the things that came up early is people kept saying, talking about going to arbitration. Oh, it's going to go to arbitration. It's a federal question. Arbitration's when you want to debate over whether you get $10,000 or $20,000 in a lawsuit for damages with a car accident. This is not that kind of suit. This is a suit where you're going to the judge and saying, you're the law of the land. You understand the Constitution. How does the law apply to these delegates in Florida when voting for the potential president of the United States? They're asking for the question to be answered. Very unique.
And what would you dub this? Because the reason I ask is, obviously I want this information to get out to as many people as possible. And I have archived listeners as well, and so does everyone else on Blog Talk Radio. And that's one of the things I like about Blog Talk, is people can listen to the episodes at their leisure. And I think it's an even better way, or not better, but it increases the way people can get the information. So what I'm going to do later on is I want to put the fact that this information came out earlier, so if people are directed to this episode, they'll get this information. So what would you dub, it's like a title or a line for what this lawsuit is?
It's a federal question to determine if delegates at the RNC are supposed to follow federal law and vote their conscience, or RNC rules and vote based on what RNC tells them to do. Now, you can shorten that somehow.
Yeah. Well, because in a federal question, RNC rule on unbound delegates.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
What I like to do is put it on the description for people, they can read, say, hey, in this episode there's information on, on an update of the, because I know there's a lot of people who've been really interested, on the lawsuit. And some people, of course, in the they're supposed to be Newt groups, but they're actually Romney groups who are trying to, in other politically themed groups who are, pro Romney, are trying to say that the lawsuit's just a bunch of bunk.
Yeah, and they're not correct, because think about this. We were on my group, we were on Pins and Needles, and obviously the Ron, Lawyers for Paul group. We're on Pins and Needles at 8:30 this morning waiting for an answer on the motion. It was just the motion to dismiss. Richard Gilbert comes out, and he has a couple quick conversations, tweets, and obviously people that are close to him. And he had to go back and refile or redefine some wording in his filing, and he had to look up some other precedent cases on to come back, and then they were supposed to come back at 5 p.m. That's unheard of in a motion I don't want to say unheard of, but very rare in a motion to dismiss case. If the federal judge would have said, oh, there's no case here, it would have been over at 8:30 this morning. You see what I'm saying?
Well,
in other words, there's multiple – on the Lawyers for Ron Paul, going back and forth between the two sites, because obviously they're involved and I'm just a conduit of information, to new people. And I was over there, and you would not believe the threads of information of precedent cases involved around voting rights, you know, voting your conscience, your freedom to vote, you know, without coercion, being coerced to vote a certain way. I mean, these guys were throwing, it was rapid fire on that site of all these cases. There is tons of precedent that says somebody can't come up to you and say, there's going to be an election in fall, and here's who you have to vote for. I mean, come on, folks.
It's not America.
You know, and the, yeah, and these Romneyites.
Oh, yeah, real quick. I just want to interject and let the people who are on hold, I went ahead and opened up the mics back, so thank you. Thank you. Sorry for interruption. I just wanted to let them know.
Okay. So basically, what these Romney people are saying, and I'll be as polite as I can, it's a lie. There is a case here, and we're still in the courthouse until 9 p.m. tonight, started 8:30 this morning, over just the start of this case. So when you have 1,000 plaintiffs of fraud, of rules broken, potential state and federal laws broken, 6 cases of bones being broken, you don't think there's a case there? The thing that I have learned in this primary, it's the first primary I've ever been actively involved in, is disinformation is the way this primary has been run. And it is amazing to me. I didn't think that was – I guess I just never assumed. Maybe I'm naive, and I've been in Alaska half my life. Maybe I'm just naive as to how corrupt our country has become. But I never expected to see what I've seen in this primary in the Republican Party. And like I said, maybe I'm naive. But the thing that I've seen –
I agree, because I've been Republican for, you know – I mean, since I was a kid, but I mean, since I've been 18 and, you know, I'm 41, 42 now. And, you know, so I've been a loyal, you know, follower and, you know, worker for boots on the ground kind of, you know, Republican. And I've never felt so betrayed by this party. Because I always thought the Republican Party was the party of principle, and they really showed in this primary that's
true colors.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So,
it's sad.
Yeah, and you know, and that's why, you know, I've asked the questions in previous shows. You know, party over principle. I mean, they really, you know, the people who are asking us to give up on our principles to support Romney, it's like, you know, it's been done too many times in the past. And let me put this to the folks, is we've done this so many times in the past. Why would we continue to do so when this is where what we've done in the past has gotten us? If what we've done
in the past is just
– go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's ABL.
No, go ahead.
It's fear of Obama. This whole election primary has been run. I have marketing background in my life, and I've – I just have a weird background, done a lot of different things. But I saw it very early. When you run your population and your strategies and your marketing by fear, and that's exactly what they're doing, this whole primary.
Mm-hmm.
It was never about ideas. It was never about, I mean, come on. There is one guy that has ideas. You know what I mean? Dr. Paul is very set and been very consistent in his core beliefs his whole life. But when you get Newt Gingrich up there and he opens his mind, he's got every T and every I crossed. He's been working his whole life for this point in time. This is an idea, man. And when you get defeated by fear of Obama, I mean, I've had this argument with people on multiple sites, over and up from Sarah Palin's site across the board, is if you live your life in fear, you will make bad decisions. And that's the whole marketing strategy behind this whole campaign.
Well, and I agree, and I think that the rhino part of the Republican Party, the establishment part of the Republican Party, has been trying to get a moderate Republican in the White House for decades, and now they're thinking why they thought they could get away with pushing Romney and doing what they could is because they're like, ha, we finally got the people, the Republicans, the conservatives, so afraid of the candidate we're going to go up against, we can finally get a moderate in there and marginalize once and for all the conservatives and libertarians of the Republican Party.
Exactly.
Do you remember when the Tea Party had the sweeping wins?
In 2010?
Yes. Do you remember not long? Do you remember the abuse going back to Sarah Palin, the abuse she got by the left, and then what they did? Because I'm from Alaska, or like I said, was half my life in Alaska, and what they did to her in that state of Alaska, that where she finally resigned, and I mean I lived right there in Juneau, in the state capital, for half my life. So the thing that I remember so vividly that changed my life, the first one was what I said earlier when my son and I were driving down the road and they said this Patriot Act had been signed. I remember that. You know, you remember these things that are like, oh, my God. The other thing I remember was the left attacking the Tea Party nonstop and the Republicans doing nothing to defend the people and the group inside of the GOP that gave us the blocking votes against Obama. And I realized right then that there's a bunch of people in the Republican Party that hate what we stand for as conservatives and Christians. And all we are is votes and money to these people.
Mm-hmm. And boots on the ground. And they need, and I think that's a message I need to be sent to the RNC, is that, look, the conservatives, you know, I use this illustration. You have an elephant, okay, and the elephant is split in half between the moderates on top and the conservatives on the bottom. Well, what's on the bottom part of an elephant is any animal, the feet, the legs. It's what takes the animal, makes the animal mobile, okay? The conservatives is what makes the Republican Party mobile. You chop off those legs, and what's going to happen? That elephant's going to fall, and it's not going to be able to go anywhere, okay? And that is what's going to happen to the Republican Party, okay, in this election. If it's going to chop off the conservative, and I would even include the libertarian feet, okay, and the legs of the Republican Party and think they're going to get anywhere. It's not going to happen.
Well, here's the thing that conservatives have to figure out is how much abuse are they going to take before they no longer accept this. And here's Robert. I have to add something I think is really important because I have – my mom was a history sociology major, so I grew up around this stuff. But there's a difference between a moderate and a progressive. Mitt Romney is not a moderate. He's a progressive. And it's really important for people to understand the difference between a moderate like McCain, who will work both sides and be a nice guy, and a guy who is absolutely running liberal a liberal agenda as a governing person in his state. And that's really important because it isn't just the idea that the GOP thinks that we need a moderate to get the independents, which we don't, because independents are no different than you and me. They still have a basic fundamental belief in, you know, God and country and smaller government. They just are sick of the parties. That's where most independents are. They're not moderates. They may not like hardcore Christian ideals, and they sure don't want them shoved down their throat. And I'm a hardcore Christian. I don't want the government to tell me how to live my life either in my religion. So, you know, I understand what these people think about. But it's one thing to run a moderate thinking you need that to win the right-leaning Democrats and the independents. And it's another to run an absolute progressive liberal. That's how far we've come. And I don't know if that's too drastic of a conversation to have with people, but I started posting that he was a progressive months ago.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because if people would indulge me for literally 1 minute and 4 seconds.
Sure.
I have an audio clip that I'd like to play. And one of the things you know, we promote in the conservative conversation is for people to do their own research and look for you know, authoritarian sources. And one of the most authoritarian sources of someone is something that's come out of their own mouth. And I think you know, he just touched on a very important point, and here you go.
Romney's all-day bus tour made a stop in Worcester this afternoon, where supporters gathered to cheer him on and rally the troops to get out the vote. Voter turnout is expected to decide this race, with a large turnout expected to help Romney. With that in mind, the campaign has set up 38 phone banks and targeted 150,000 undecided and unenrolled voters to receive phone calls. Many Democrats say a tie in the polls gives the edge to Shannon O'Brien because she has that statewide organization, including union and minority support. But the Romney campaign says that support is overrated and is eroding. They point to the recent endorsement from El Mundo, the largest Spanish-speaking newspaper in the state.
I think the old, standby definitions of who votes for which party have been blown away in this campaign. I think people recognize that I'm not a partisan Republican, that I'm someone who is moderate, and that my views are progressive, and that I'm going to go to work for our senior citizens, for people who've been left behind by urban schools that are not doing the right job, and so they're going to vote for me regardless of the party label.
And there you have it, straight out of Romney's mouth. My views are progressive.
I used to say, you know what's going to happen to us? If he wins a nomination, it'll be the first time in my lifetime I've been forced to vote for a Democrat.
What?
Right.
Well, there's one of two ways that I'm going to vote. If we do get the broker convention and Newt gets the nomination, of course I'm going to vote for Newt. Or two, if Romney gets the nomination and he's smart enough to put Newt on the ticket, I would vote for the ticket because my vote would be going for Newt Gingrich. If neither one of those two things happen, I'm going to write Newt Gingrich on my ballot.
Yep, I totally
understand
that.
One of those three ways I'm going to be voting this November.
Okay. I have a question for Chris.
Sure.
Because you're so, familiar with the Ron Paul group and all that. What I'd like to know from you is what you feel would be the best way for us as Newt supporters to communicate to the delegates that if they are unbound, if this comes out that they're going to be unbound delegates, to appeal to them and let them know that the game is not the same that it was when the voters voted. I mean, so many things have come out about Romney and his gaffe and his tax returns that he won't, supply, and the RNC breaking all these rules. So it's just so different than when we were voting. And so how can we appeal to those delegates in a smart way? I mean, you don't have much time to visit, to get your point across. But to hit them hard with what they need to hear from us in order so that they will feel like they are doing the right thing by not voting for Romney and for voting for Ron Paul or putting a name in or whatever, just so that he doesn't get the correct amount of delegates to lock it all up.
Correct. To answer that, I have to ask you a question because – do you have a list of those delegates to talk to? And I'm not trying to be sarcastic. That's a real question.
No, I do not.
Yeah, okay. The reason I say this, because I've had some people on my group talk about, oh, we need to get a hold of these delegates and we need to do this, do that. Here's the thing to realize. There's a lawsuit going on with a lot of people involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
The delegates that are part of the federal lawsuit are safe. Because they are part of a federal lawsuit. And the ones that aren't, that are scared to death, or the RNC has threatened them or coerced them or made them sign something or bribed them or whatever they've done to them, there's a lot of fear out there. Their future in the party is at risk. You would not believe the stuff that I've dealt with. And I have said to anybody who ever runs across a delegate, the best thing you could do is get them to election fraud remedy and get them to be a plaintiff in the lawsuit where they're protected. Because here's the thing to remember. Over 200 delegates have been unseated and replaced by Romney people.
I cannot believe that.
The RNC will stop at nothing to crown this man.
Go ahead.
That's really important. Go ahead. Sorry, yeah. Robert.
No, I'm just going to interject real quick. I don't have enough time to play it now because there's only 15 minutes left, and it's a 10-minute clip, but it's definitely something I might, could play on tomorrow night's show. Is I actually have a clip about the lawsuit that describes it. That's why I ask it. I think it might start itself off talking about the Ron Paul delegates, and maybe that's why people thought this was a Ron Paul lawsuit. So I think that's where the confusion might have been. But, I mean, at some point I'd like to play the clip. I'm sure you're familiar with it, Chris. So.
Well, they have on the lawyer's website, there is a video that explains the basics of the lawsuit. And it's very well done, very professional. Are you talking about that one?
I think so, because you mentioned the link, and it made a light bulb go off over my head. And so I was like, oh, you know what? You know, they talk about that website in the audio clip I was telling about.
Yeah, yeah. They put together a legal website, and also Election Fraud Remedy is another website. But on their legal website, they have a clip that explains it. And that's one of the things that I started doing early on when I realized the lawsuit had meat, you know, it had teeth to it. I dug into it. I had a paralegal on my group that helped me, you know, and this is a shout-out to Dottie for that, but has done a lot of work and a lot of research and turned that legalese into English that I can understand, is to get that message out to people that the best thing that could happen is to be a plaintiff. If you've witnessed fraud, if you've seen things occur, which I, all through the primary, you know, I had friends on Facebook were saying, oh, I was trying to be a delegate and I saw this. Those people should be on that lawsuit as witnesses, and all the delegates should be on, because you're protected. You're in a federal suit. If you're not part of that suit, and somebody, you know, like us, you, me, have a conversation with that delegate and start to sway their mind, and they talk to somebody and RNC figures it out, they'll get rid of them. And that's why it's important that we be really careful about what we tell people, or, you know, delegates, about what they should do. I really believe that out of, you know, if you look at, and most of us have seen the website that shows the actual count of delegates and only showed that was about 417 that were committed to Romney. Remember that website?
Right. Is that the 2012 real delegate count?
Yeah, that one way. And it shows like 417. Well, that's less than 19% of the delegates even committed to the man. This stuff wouldn't be going on, folks, if he wasn't scared to death that nobody likes him. Because nobody likes him.
Mm-hmm. You know, I take a lot of, you know, I get some information. One of my favorite places to go for audio clips is a place called, it's not a place, but it's kind of a segment of a news program. It's called Reality Check.
They're awesome.
Yes. And if you don't mind, if you could give me, because it's quarter till, but it's only about 5 minutes, so that would give us 5 minutes to make comment on it. I'd like to play this, and if you can make comment on it, I'd really appreciate it, okay?
Sure.
And it's about...
1 week ago, Reality Check told you about one reason why the Republican presidential nomination is far from locked up. But at least one blogger says Ben got it wrong. Did he? The answer in a Reality Check, reply all.
The issue at hand, our reality check on Rule 38 of the Republican National Convention rules. As I told you last week, way down at the end of the RNC rules is rule number 38. That rule consists of only one sentence. No delegate or alternate delegate shall be bound by any attempt of any state or congressional district to impose the unit rule. So what is the unit rule? Well, that rule requires that all delegates from one state or congressional district are required or bound to vote as a unit. After that story aired, a blog post titled Urgent, Ben Swan and Matt Larson are wrong about Rule 38 and delegates being unbound based on RNC rules. Now, the author here does a good job of raising some very valid points at the heart of his argument. The states get around this rule by not binding the entire group of delegates. They always have at least one delegate unbound, and it's usually three unbound delegates. So they are not enforcing a unit rule in any way. Therefore, Rule 38 does not apply to the argument. And that is true. For instance, in Ohio, we have 66 delegates, and they are bound delegates. But of those 66, there are three RNC delegates who have the freedom to vote however they choose. Therefore, the blogger correctly states that this allows the RNC to get around the unit rule. But the blogger may not be entirely correct. I stand by our argument that it very well may be that none of the delegates, when they reach the Republican National Convention, are actually bound. And it isn't just our theory. An extensive article at fairvote.org has taken a very close look at this issue. And the truly important issue is this. The author states that the RNC rules provision on the unit rule make it clear that delegates are not bound to vote according to how most delegates from their state are voting. They go on to say, delegates can vote according to their own judgment and conscience. So, What is all of this based on? Actually, it's not our interpretation of the RNC rules or fairvote.org's interpretation. It is the interpretation of the RNC legal counsel. In 2008, this issue came up. It was actually in Utah, where a delegate did not want to join with the rest of the state and vote for John McCain, and instead demanded that his vote be cast for Mitt Romney. McCain won Utah with 62% of the vote in 2008. But here's the most important part. In that delegate's fight to cast a dissenting vote was this statement over the specific issue. Jennifer Sheehan, legal counsel for the RNC, plainly stated in a letter to Nancy Lord, Utah National Committee woman, several weeks before the convention, the RNC does not recognize a state's binding of national delegates, but considers each delegate a free agent who can vote for whoever they choose. And the national convention allows delegates to vote for the individual of their choice, regardless of whether the person's name is officially placed into nomination or not. And that statement is about as clear as it gets. The delegate process was actually designed to entrust a group of voters with the power to override the popular vote in each state in order to ensure that the best candidate is chosen. Now, keep in mind, the Republican and the Democratic parties are not government agencies. They're private organizations, more like clubs. So voting within a party is not bound by election law. And that's what you need to know. The national media isn't telling you something very important. This past weekend, Congressman Ron Paul swept the delegates in two states, in Nevada and in Maine. At this point, all the delegate momentum appears to be on his side. So much of what we've been telling you for months has now finally been mentioned by several national outlets, Bloomberg Business, U.S. News and World Report, even radio host Mark Levin this week have finally started to hint at the idea that, well, maybe Tampa isn't going to be inevitable after all. Stay tuned. And that is Reality Check.
If you'd like to make your voice heard on the story, head over to Ben's Facebook page. You can find it by searching Ben Swan, WX.
And there you go. If you could comment on that, if you would.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
So basically, yeah, I remember that. I think I was one of the first people to trip over that. Swan is awesome. That letter is actually was a Ron Paul supporter who actually found that letter and got it to him. And so anyway, a little background on that. But here's the problem. It is a private club, so they're trying to squeeze every, for lack of a better term right now, every sinister way possible to not allow those delegates to vote their conscience at the RNC convention. And so, and you got to remember the thing about the rules. They make rules. They can change those rules because they are a private club. And that's why this lawsuit is so important, because what the lawsuit says is, hey, here's the rules. Here's the law. Here's the federal law. It says that those delegates are free to vote their conscience, because one of the items in the motion to dismiss this morning from the RNC legal counsel was, we're a private club, we can do whatever we want. And so that's what's at stake today until 9 o'clock.
Well, I really appreciate you coming in and giving us all that information and insight on what's going on, and I definitely want to hear more when there's updates. So please feel free to contact me and let me know. I'd really like to have you get on the show if you'd ever like to, or I know I'd like to have you back on for certain.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Well, we're gonna know 9 o'clock tonight what the next rule is. So you know, you and I chat back and forth. So let's stay together on this and see what we can do to help.
Sounds great. I appreciate it. Well, at this time, I'd like to thank everyone who came in to listen to the show tonight, everyone who contributed to both in chat and on the calls this evening. I'd also like to thank you, the people on the archives that listened to the whole thing through. I appreciate it. And I just want to give a plug in for a big interview I have tonight. At least it's big for me personally. I don't personally know Aubrey Ashburn, who I'm interviewing, but I've been listening to her music for years, and I really like her music. She's got a beautiful voice, and I get the opportunity to interview her this Thursday, and I would like to invite you to come and listen to the interview. It's going to be great. As I said, I've got a personal thing in just because I really enjoyed her music, so I'm really excited about it. And that's going to be this coming up Thursday, August the 9th. So what I like to do, since I brought it up, I will play an audio clip to give the audience a flavor of the kind of music that she does. And this is from Aubrey Ashburn, and thank you very much, and enjoy the music. Thank you very much, everyone. Take care. See you again, and good night.